I live forever. What does that mean? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, with Absolute Philosopher. I live forever. What does that mean? The last several evenings, I spent a half an hour or so going into the internet and looking at Absolute Philosopher. And it was quite revealing. I had studied Shakespeare. I'd studied all of these great philosophers. I'd studied Shakespeare, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, and Shakespeare is a philosopher too, I guess. And I studied all these guys, and many of them had very powerful statements to make about Absolute. And what they're saying about Absolute is what we're saying. They're saying Absolute is something you cannot describe. You cannot define it. You cannot label it. You cannot limit it in any way, because Absolute is. Now, we have our statements this evening. I live forever. And what does that mean? What does it mean to live forever? Well, number one, to live forever means you don't die. Now, you think you die, and every one of you think this, no matter how you protest that you don't think that, you think it, because you have had people in your life who have died dead. They are absolutely dead. They're tote. They're kaput. They're useless. They're out of business. They bought their farm, you know. Now, what does that mean? What that means is just one thing. They have sold their old car and bought a new one. And they've moved into this new car, and you, because you're so blind and stupid, including me, you can't see them. You can't see them driving around in their brand new, wonderful, shiny, perfect, ideal, baby blue, if you want to say baby blue or baby pink, but in their tiny, just getting started automobile. Now, maybe they're going to change automobiles a number of times as they expand. And of course we do, you know. Children oftentimes have growing pains. And we say, oh, that's just growing pains. Your muscles are stretching out, and your bones are growing, and they're not growing in an even momentum. But that's not true. That's not true. Every time a child has growing pains, he dies. He dies to the old child that was just a little smaller, and he's born to the new child that's a little bigger. You say, well, it's the same body. Well, don't kid yourself. Every cell of our body changes every day virtually, you know. Every cell of our body. There's an interesting article in the Discovery magazine that I have not read yet, but I browsed. And this scientist is telling us that there is no reason for our body to die. There is no reason for us to give up this automobile. We just have not learned to maintain it. We have not learned to keep it in shape, to have it be absolutely perfect as it was in the beginning when we got it and as we developed it. Now, you know, every day our bodies are throwing off old cells. And every day they're creating new cells. And the new cells are in keeping with the image that we have of ourselves, the image that we're a little older, we're a teenager, or we're a young adult, or we're an adult, or a middle age, and we're old age, whatever. We create in that image because that's what we've been taught by our generations. And then we've also been taught that there comes a time when the body is no longer beneficial, and so we cast off the old body and we move into another dimension. Now, I don't think anybody in the entire universe is silly enough to say that the spirit dies, you know? The spirit lives. Now, the spirit in us lives. Just because The spirit in us decides that it's going to work on another dimension or work in another dimension on this dimension. Doesn't mean that it's gone, but it is no longer that person. Now let's just look at Dad. Dad died. And Dad died dead. And Dad's body was cremated. And his ashes were spread over the lake. You know, like they're all stretched out. Well, Dad didn't need it anymore. He moved out of the body and said, do with it what you will. Make hamburgers if you want. But nobody does that. They just burn it up and throw it away, bury it, you know. However, our body is designed to live forever. Now, I've been teaching this philosophy for many years, and this is the same philosophy that Ernest Holmes and Charles Fillmore taught, the same philosophy that Jesus taught, the same philosophy the Buddha taught, and many other fine teachers have taught. And the philosophy is that we live forever. Socrates said the same thing. Plato said the same thing. Aristotle said the same thing. All the various great philosophers said the same. They said it's impossible to die. The spirit ever lives. Now, what we want to do is to train ourselves that we can have the body remain alive. Now, nobody wants a sick body. Nobody wants an old body. Nobody wants a body that is limited in any way. Now, we don't want the body of a child, as charming as that may be. We don't want the body of a child. We don't want the body of a teenager. We want the body of somebody maybe 21 to 30, you know, in that perfect range. And you say, well, older is perfect too, you know. The 40s, 30s, and 40s are fine too. Yes, that's fine. It all depends on what you think is fine. Now, our lymph glands, we're told, have a fluid in them that is given information, and that information is carried out telling the body to remain young or to grow old, to have certain diseases or not to have diseases, to do these things or not. Very interesting. You know, Alexander the Great was a fabulous man. He traveled the world. He claimed the world. He ruled the world. And at the age of 30, he came down with encephalitis. He had been in Egypt, and there were about maybe 100 blackbirds that died at his feet of a plague or of a disease, a virus. And he caught the virus, went home, and in a short time he died at a very young age. My goodness sakes, this wonderful mind, imagine if he had lived as long as his father or longer. What he could have done and did do. Amazing man, amazing. But he went. Now, why did he go? Now, really, he said to himself, and you must. He said to himself, I've done all I want to do in this body. I'm going to take off. Now, he didn't say that to the people, because they looked at him and thought, wow, what a spectacular character. You know, what a wonderful guy. How magnificent he is and how creative. And that. And look at what he does. I mean, goodness sakes. You know, why would a man like that want to die? Well, he saw the movie, and he wanted to go out and see a different one. And so he left the old body behind. But he had to have a disease or a sickness or be shot with an arrow or something, you know, so that he could be free to leave, because he could not commit suicide publicly, you know, because that was not the thing to do. But he wanted to go. Now, so now we have two points here. One point is our body grows old because we train it to grow old, or our body, we want to move on to another adventure and we want to let it go. Now, if Alexander the Great had been a little better philosopher and not just a great conqueror and a great ruler, a little more of a philosopher, he would have said something like this to himself. He would have said, yep, I always have a perfect body. I never have a body that's not perfect. I always have a perfect body. I always have a perfect body. Let's see. I think I've conquered as much as I can conquer in this world. I wonder what would be in the next dimension. Don't you think he thinks about it? Just you think we're the only people that think about the next dimension? We're the only people that think that life is eternal and that our body does whatever? And so he evaporates. His body's not there. And what would people think? Who would take over Rome? Who would rule? You know? And so what happened? He let his body be dead so that they could go through their normal procedures of the rulers that had to be done. But if he had ascended with his body, his whole world would have been all upset, and they'd say, but he, how do we know he's dead? Where is he? You know, who has kidnapped him? How are we going to get? Then the people who are interesting, they would say, yes, we have a ransom. It's so big a ransom, you pay it and you can have him back. And of course, he's not even there. They are just playing a game, you see. Now, we live in this sort of a game so often in our life. We have this sort of game going so many times, but now we have the ability to either take our body with us or have this body live forever as a perfect symbol in the age we wish it to be. Now, would you get tired of living if you were living in, let's say, a 30-year-old body or a 25-year-old body, and you were at your peak? Would you get tired of living? Or would you find one moment or to the next moment exciting adventures? Would you find that traveling the world was a glorious thing? Would you find that teaching this concept around the world would be a fascinating thing? Would you find that you are immortal? Now, can you be shot? Can you be killed in any way? Can you be poisoned? No. The thing is, when you are immortal, you are immune to anything that might kill your body. And your body is immune to age. Your body remains the same at all times. Now you say, that is outrageous thinking. Yes, it is, isn't it? And isn't it interesting how the scientists today are coming up with the same concept, with the same realization that philosophers have been teaching for an infinite number of years. But stop and think about it, and as you stop and think about it, give yourself a good, big, swift kick. If you're the absolute philosopher, and you are, and you're talking about absolute, and absolute is all, absolute never changes, absolute never goes away, it is never destroyed, it is always the same. If you're talking about that, do you think you would ever get tired of living? Do you think that you would ever allow yourself to have any ties, possessions? You'd have a husband or a wife or children? Do you think you'd ever allow yourself to have a community that wants you, needs you, possesses you? Oh, this is our great guru, you know? No. You want to be free. You want to be free to, hey, I think I'll go to Saturn and see what that's like. What? You're going to Saturn? Come on now. Yeah. Want to come along? Oh, not me. It's cold out there. You come with me, and you won't feel any heat or cold. You just have a great experience. I tell you what, I've got a neat vehicle up there on Saturn. I'd like to have you come up and try it out, you know? You want to come along?
Yeah.
It'd be quite exciting. And this vehicle, oh, I tell you, it's a startler. I would bring it down here, except that it would blow everybody's brains. And they would try to match it, and they can't match it because it cannot be matched mechanically. It has to be matched with the mind. Yeah, with the thought. And so the body is eternal, but it is eternal with thought. And so our lives are immortal, but with thought. And we have it right now. We have it right in this moment, in this experience here. And it is just scads and scads of fun. As Anita would say, heaps and heaps of fun. And it sure is. But we'll talk more about this as the days go on, because I live forever. And what does that mean? You cannot die. You cannot die. So how about that? I love you. I love you. I love you.